Thank you very much, Rabbi Angel. I normally don't respond by a return compliment, but Rabbi Angel is my rabbi, at least my weekday rabbi, most of the week. So I feel constrained to say that whatever he said to me really applies to him. The Balei HaTosfos on Noach say, when Eled told us Noach ish tzaddik, it's twice Noach. Why twice Noach? So the Balei HaTosfos say, one is for Noach lamakom and the other is Noach labriot. And I think that very well expresses my feelings for you, Kvod Harav. You can't hear me? So how do you heard me now? Is this for a tape or is this a...
No, this is for the...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Try to do something.
Yeah.
No, this won't work. Can you hear me? I'll have to hold it, all right. Maybe under the new leadership of the hotel, we're going to get a better microphone next time in this. What I decided to talk about today, not to talk about really, but to teach, has nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with congregational life. It has everything to do with our personal lives, because it is something that affects us at least twice a day. And that is the kavana we're supposed to have for Kriya Shema. One of the reasons I chose this is because a few years ago I gave a seminar at REITS for smicha students on the subject, and I decided to develop it further. And it's almost ready to be published, about 98% done. And tonight's shiur will really be a digest or an expansion in some ways of one of the central issues that I take up in this particular book. Okay? Really, it all revolves about one word. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the word Echad. What does it mean to say that God is one? After all, this one word is the most distinguishing aspect of Yahadus. The Rambam points out in the Mora Nevuchim that the number of times a thing is repeated does not indicate its importance, because all of Torah is built on the concept of monotheism, of Hashem Echad, and it's mentioned only once in the Torah, in this particular pasuk. What does it mean? Let's turn to Rashi. Rashi says on the pasuk Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and he doesn't mention it here, but he's really quoting a sefrei. Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Atah V'lo Elohei Ha'ovdei Kachovim Hu Asid L'hiyos Hashem Echad Sheneamar, and he quotes from Tzvanya, Ki'ozeh Hefoch El Amim Safo V'rural Dekro Kulam B'Shem Hashem V'neamar from Zechariah B'yom Ahu Yashem Echad Eshmol Echad. For Rashi and for the sefrei, the oneness of God is an eschatological hope. God today is not one, in quotes, because only we recognize his unity. But so much of the rest of the world is pagan, at least it was declared pagan in his days. It's now functionally pagan, but not by declaration. And we hope for the day that Hashem Elokeinu, our Hashem, our God, will someday be Echad in the distant future, and it will be universal. Everyone will come to acknowledge Hashem. That is the first source of trying to define what the Kavana is. That we have to have Kavana is mentioned, of course, in Brachas, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbana Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Ad Kan Tzricha Kavana Salev Devir Rabbi Meir. You have to have L'chatchila Kavana in everything you say, but for the Eved, you certainly have to have Kavana for that first Pasuk of the Shema. Omar Rava Halacha K'Rab Meir. Then the Gemara continues, Tanya Sumchus Omer Kol HaMa'arich Be'echad Ma'arichin Lo Yamov V'Shnosav. Whoever stretches out the word Echad when he reads or recites the Shema will have his years and days stretched, will attain longevity. Amar Ravacha by Yaakov Ubedalad. The emphasis, the stretching out of Echad has to be on the Dalad. It doesn't mean the Dalad itself, because if he says Echad da-da-da-da-da, it means that you can't stutter it. It means the vowel that concludes with the Dalad. So it's Echad. You stretch the last syllable. Amar Avashi, ubelvad shelo yachtov v'chet. But as long as you don't make the first, the ches means the first syllable, the aleph, too short. You have to say eh as well as chod, and not to make it so that you can't hear the word echad. Then more significantly, the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yirmiyah havi Yosef kamed Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting before an older colleague of Chiya bar Abba. Chazyei Rabbi Chiya bar Abba saw that when they were davening, that ma'arech tuva, that Rabbi Yirmiyah was stretching out the Shema. Amalei, so he said to him, there's no reason to stretch it out that long. Why? Kevan da'amlichdei l'malo l'mata l'abaruchas ha'shamayim. Once you have declared God's kingship, you are mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in heaven and in earth and in the four corners of the world. In other words, that very simple thought that God is one in the entire universe, above, below, and in every direction, sulo sichas, no more is necessary. What Rabbi Chaya bar Abba was emphasizing is, well, what should I put it rather crudely, not to make a fetish of it. Not to make it so drawn out that it loses its consistency. But you have to have enough in there to have kavana, but not so much that you have to stop and wait between each syllable any unreasonable length of time. Okay. Rabbi Niyona, so we have two different ways of kavana. Rashi, who gives you a specific kavana of an eschatological one, in other words, the hope for the end of days, the Yemos HaMashiach, when the entire world will recognize God, and the one of the Gemara. The Gemara says, only to be mamlech, to declare now, not later, but now, God is king, God is the guy, the creator of the universe, and he fills up the entire cosmos and beyond it, above, below, and the four sides. Rabbi Niyona says that the halacha is with the Gemara. The Sifrei is only b'di'evet, but the Chatchila, one should have intentions of the Gemara. I don't want to go into too many details on the halachic part. It depends on the girsa and the rif, but it's enough for now. Now, after the Shema, what do we say? We say, Baruch Shem, Kvod, Malchuso, L'Olam Ved. And you all know the Agoda. The Gemara says it in Psochem. It's quoted in the Targum as well, and brought in many places in different, slightly different forms. Now, where does it come from? When Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, he seemed to be very perturbed, and he thought that Avraham had an Yishmael, and Yitzchak had an Esav. Maybe Shema Yesh Psul B'mitosi, maybe my family too has a defect in it, in the sense that one or some of my children will not follow my way. He was very perturbed, so the children said to him, his name was Yaakov, but also Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, hear Father Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, your God is our God. And upon which Yaakov was, his mind was appeased, he felt happier, more comfortable, and he responded with an expression of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Baruch Shem Tov Malchuso L'Olam Ved, blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever. Now, when it comes to the concept of what Echad means, a very interesting thumbnail adumbration of the development of the concept is given to us by one of the great rabbis of Chabad, by the Menachem Mendel Schneerson, who is known to us as the Tzemach Tzedek. Tzemach Tzedek says there were three periods, three stages in the development of this most unique of all Jewish concepts. The first one is prevailed throughout most of Jewish history until the Yemei HaBinayim. And that was simply that the unity of God is pure monotheism, that there is no other God with him. There is only one God. Simple, to the point, without chachmas. The medieval scholars, the Rishonim, the Chachmei Yemei HaBinayim, added one other concept. They developed it further. Now, not only is there no other God, but one God means not only one, but unique. Hu levado. He is unique, and he is uniquely one. And when you start to learn Ibn Ezra or any of the other Rishonim, you see how they tried very hard to make that point very trenchantly. God is not only one, he is also unique. I think it was one of the later Hermann Cohen, who said the difference between Einheit and Einzigkeit. Not only is he one, but he is uniquely one. Then came, says Menachem Mendel, then came Chassidus, the Baal Shem Tov, the Magid, and their Talmidim, especially the Baal Tanya, who said that not only is God one, not only does his oneness imply his uniqueness, but, and this is a very important and sometimes difficult to appreciate concept, he is also the only reality. Nothing else really exists. And it's all condensed into one word. Ein od milavado mamish. Really, ein od. Not only there's no other world, not only there's no other God, nothing else exists. In other words, reality comes in two stages. A spurious reality and a real reality. All else that exists is only spurious. It doesn't really exist. It has no ontological validity. It's not really existing. The only thing that really exists is not a thing, but it's the Rabbanu Shel Olam. In the presence of God, everything else has a bitul hayesh. It just has no reality whatsoever. Interestingly, the major theoretician and ideologue of the anti-Hasidic movement of Hisnagdus, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, has the identical idea that the Baal HaTanya does. They were contemporaries. The Tanya was a bit older. I don't know. I don't believe that Rav Chaim said these things when he already knew the Tanya, but it's a toss-up. The Rav Chaim and the Nefesh HaChaim says the very same thing. Ein od milvado mamish. And I'm going to show you in a short while how both really say the same thing, Ein Shnei Nevi'im B'Signan Echad, but he is there with him. Now, the Zohar, and what I'm trying to do is this. I want to show you that there is a major machlokus of two points of view into the meaning of Echad. One of them by the Tanya, representing Chassidus, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner on the same side, and the other one by another Hasidic thinker who objects to the first two. What I'm going to do is I want to explain first the Shita of the Tanya and Rav Chaim, then we'll read the text to see how we can get it out of the text. Then I'm going to go on to the other Shita that opposes it and read the text of that particular personality. Now let me, another word of introduction. The Zohar, to which all sides here pay deference, because both the Hasidim and Misnagdim, that is, when I say Misnagdim, I mean the Gaon and his followers, such as Rav Chaim, who was his major Talmud, all of them accepted not only the Zohar, they accepted the Ari HaKadosh as being infallible. I mean, they regarded the Ari HaKadosh, the Kabbalah, the Ari HaKadosh, as essential Judaism, as it were. In the Zohar, you find the following terminology used. To be miyached God, to express his unity, comes in two forms. Yichud ilo'a and yichud tata'a. The higher unification and the lower unification. Now these terms are not clearly described and expanded upon in the Zohar itself. All we know is that there are two forms of yichud. The higher one, the yichud ilah, is the first verse of the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Yichud tata, the lower unification, is Bor Hashem Kvo Machusei Le'olam Ve'ed. Now, when the Tanya and the Chaim say that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad means that nothing exists but God, Ein od mamash, that is yichud ilah. So when you say the words Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you have to keep in mind that God is not only one, but he is all, and he is everything, and there's nothing else that exists in the world. It's as you'll see later, a very powerful mystical insight. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is yichud ilah. That is the idea that nothing really, truly exists. Everything else is a dream. And we humans, along with the rest of creation, are simply actors in God's dream, as it were. We have no reality. We're just a fiction. Is that an idea that is acceptable to you? I mean, how do you feel about it, ladies and gentlemen? Do you like it? No? No stories. How do you think about stories? Let's look to the Zach. What's difficult to take? Why is it difficult to understand it? Pardon? Yeah, that's the second thing. First, give me a halachic argument. A halachic argument.
We are real.
No, then there's nothing. We're not real. We're not real. We can't be counted. Oh, there is the answer. If we are all non-existent, then the halacha is superfluous. Because halacha deals with tohar, tamei, osur, muta, mitzvah, avera, mediraisa, mediravonon. It deals with esek kedushas, hein, 10 levels of... What kind of 10 levels of kedusha? What kind of mitzvah and avera, isa, veheta? We're not real. And if we're not real, then we can do whatever we want. There are no restraints. That's one argument. Second, as you said, it destroys our humanity. If it's not real, then our relationships are not real. If our relationships are not real, nothing is real. If nothing is real, then why do anything that we are otherwise bidden to do by conscious morality, revelation, call it what you will? Life, this lebn is a cholam, you know, life is only a dream, then we're sleeping. And nothing about us, there's nothing about us that can develop our humanity. So both halacha and humanity are endangered by the concept, by the concept of a non-reality, of the ontological invalidity of everything other than the Kadosh Baruch Hu, other than the Ein Sof. This is a very real question that both the Tanya and the Nefesh HaChaim, the Reb Chaim Volozhiner, take up and discuss. What is their answer? Their answer is, it is the will of Hashem that we live as if the world were real. We have to live as if the world were real. And incidentally, be aware of the fact that the concept of a sanctified fiction, as if, in the German writers, German scholars wrote against a great deal about als alb, as if, is a fundamental of all legal reasoning, including the halacha. According to the halacha, that mechitza goes up to the heavens. Gudachis, gudasik mechitza. I mean, loved means it's really solid when we know it's not solid. I mean, I can go on to case after case where halacha is built up on legal fictions. And these fictions are accepted as a form of reality. Why? Because we live as if. Sometimes it affects our personal lives. We know certain things are not true. I mean, my friend may not be as loyal as I think he is, but I'm going to act as if he's true. Look, the Perek tells us that Havedonas kola adam lekapschus. The Kafskus, tell me, really, you believe everyone who does everything about you is pure-minded and well-intentioned, libo l'shamayim? No, of course not. But you have to live and act as if it were so. At any rate, both of these gedolim, the Tanya and the Nefesh HaChaim, tell us that although in truth we are non-existent compared to God, we must live in a manner as if this life were real, our existence confirmed, and that this is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, they say, is the Yichud Tatar. The Yichud Tatar, the lower Yichud, is expressed in what words? Baruch Shem, Kavod, Malchuso, which is the key word in that? Malchus. It's a kingdom. A kingdom has a king. It has officers, it has taxes, it has soldiers, it has citizens. The malchus of the world is confirmed because God, the Ein Sof, wants us to live in this world as if it were a truly real reality. Again, I must remind you that there are two stages of reality. the essential reality, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the spurious reality. You know, those of you who are acquainted with medieval Jewish philosophy, not only Jewish philosophy, but philosophy in general, will know that these terms are not unlike those used in the philosophical groups. Mechuyavei HaMetziyut and Efsharei HaMetziyut, those things which have to exist. In other words, it is inconceivable that God should not exist. It is conceivable that we shouldn't exist, that the cosmos should not exist. In other words, here what happens in the Kabbalah and Kabbalistically oriented thinking is that these concepts are given a mystical turn. God is real, nothing else is real, everything else is unreal. And that is what the word Echad means. So you have the Yichud Eloh means God is the only reality. Yichud Tatah means that in this world in which we live, God is one. Yes?
What do you mean
with the reality of creation?
The reality of
creation is in the Yichud Tatah. It's physical, it's material. God created the world is part of the Yichud Tatah. He gave Torah and Mitzvahs. He interacts with us, but we are real now. From the point of view of Yichud Tatah, we are real. But we understand at all times that this reality is not the same as the reality of God. What we do, therefore, is we bifurcate, we split in two our vision of existence. We know intellectually, mystically, we know that everything that exists is only a dream of God. It's not real compared to God. But we know that God wanted us to live this world not in accordance with the divine perspective, but with our own perspective. So we are duty-bound to live the way we now live. And in this realm of the cosmos, which we otherwise acknowledge as not real, in this realm, we have creation, we have mitzvah, we have avera, we have conscience, we have duties, we have sins, we have rebellion. In other words, what we are saying, you know, this is a very good case of the dialectical thinking that goes on in Kabbalah. And what it means is, now here both of them call upon another concept, which is very sophisticated, and I must say very modern. And that's a concept given to us by one of the great Mekubalim, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak. Rabbi Moshe Cordovero says that there are two ways of looking upon life and reality. One is Mitzido, and one is Mitzidenu. From his point of view, God's point of view, one from our point of view. It is possible to look upon any phenomenon from more than one point of view. As a matter of fact, stretching a little bit or expanding, extrapolating from the Ramak's view, the Ramak's dichotomy, one might say that any phenomenon, even a perfectly natural phenomenon, can never be described completely by one system. You have to have at least two. Look, God gave us two eyes. If you take only one eye, you can see one dimensionally. If you have two, you see it three dimensionally. You can describe, give you an example from physics. I hope you know physicists here. Many times I do this, a physicist will always find one word which technically I misuse, but the basic concept is there. Light. What is light? Is it consist of little atoms, little photons, or is it a disturbance in the electromagnetic waves? And the answer is, it's either one or the other. From a simple logical point of view, it's either an object, a well-defined object, a quanta, a photon, or it's simply a motion. The answer is, it's both. The famous Schrodinger equations. It is both. How could it be both? So you have a good kasha, but reality says it's both, because we have phenomena which can prove each one of these apparently contradictory ideas. So it is, says that, well, not so it is. In a similar manner, Ramak tells us, the Moshe Cavedo teaches us, that the same phenomenon viewed mitzido from a divine perspective is dissimilar to the one viewed from a human perspective, from mitzidenu. So if you look at existence from divine perspective, which yichud do you have? Yichud tato, yichud ilah? Yichud ilah. Nothing else exists but God. From God's perspective, nothing exists. Only He. If you look at it from our perspective, from the worm's eye view, then there's a whole world out there, hard as nails, a real reality. I mean, this should not be a shocking idea. A physicist will tell you that this table is mostly empty space. The table is mostly, the amount of solid material to nothing, to space, is infinitesimal. Yet you and I know if this table is a real table. But how can it be both? That's the answer. It can be both. In the same way, looking at reality, mitzido and mitzidenu. Yes? Schavionish comes because God wants you to live mitzidenu. He does not want us to be so presumptuous as to act as if we knew the divine perspective. Yes, and Olam HaEmet is the result of how we act in His Malchus. Baruch Hashem called Malchuso, in His Malchus, you see, what happens, according to this theory, what happens is that all the Kavanas we read in Rashi and in Gemara, do they apply to Yichidei Ilah? No. What do they apply to? Yichud Tator. When I say God is one, but He will be when the nations of the what nations of the world? There's no world. Or when the Gemara says you have to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is one in Bashamayim of Oretz V'Dala Duchos HaOlam. What world? What Duchos? What up? What down? There's no up, there's no down. We're talking about a non-existent thing. So all the Kavanos that we have are now shifted from Shema Yisrael to Baruch Hashem Kvod, which incidentally is probably one, as far as I'm concerned, the major criticism of this theory. It has taken all the kavanas of God's Yichud and shifted it to a pasuk which doesn't exist in the Torah, which according to the Agoda was Yaakov Avinu's statement. Yes? Wait, all right, hold on. It's a good question. Put it aside. Yeah, one more question. I want to go to the text. I can't hear you.
The allegory of the cave that you point in such a way.
Yeah.
Some of the material things you write in terms of the concept of misplaced concrete.
All right, let's hold that off too, because I must say the famous allegory of the cave by Plato is probably one of the most fertile allegories in the history of Western thought. And a great deal of mysticism generally, and including Kabbalah, is greatly influenced indirectly, not directly, by that particular metaphor or allegory. That's why when a mystical experience is always referred to as an illumination, as light. You see, even when we speak about God's presence, we call it Or Ein Sof. But I can't go out into detail right now. Just one more question, Bezehu.
Right.
The two psukim, the two verses, and not even psukim, the Shema Yisrael and Baruch Hashem Kvod cannot be separated. According to this theory, according to this shita, Shema Yisrael and Baruch Hashem always go together. Always. You'll say there are times they don't go together, such as when you die, forget about it, it's too late. Let's live, Kala. Come on, fellas, let's live. No, a Musaf. Kedusha of Musaf. You have a good kasha. A very good kasha. Put it aside, we'll come to it later. In fact, let's put everything aside. When I finish, we may have some more. I'll open it up to other questions. Okay, so now we have Yichud Ilah and Yichud Tata. One of them is Mitzido, and one of them is Mitzidenu. Let's try to read. This is an experiment as far as I'm concerned, because I don't know how many of you have experience reading this kind of text, but let's try it. You have it in your kits. The first one is Shara Yichud Ve'emuna, which is the second part of the Tanya. As you know, the Tanya is not only one sefer, it's really a combination of five of them, and this is the second one. Do you have him? What do you have?
Page 7.
What kind of page 7?
We have none of them. Maybe you're something else first.
What do you? May I see it? I'm not. Are you sure it's the right class?
Yeah.
We have this first, and then we have this. Well, all right, but skip it. But I don't. That's the mistake of the Bocha Hazetza, you know. It's the girl in the office who stapled them. You can read, gentlemen. Shar HaYichud VeEmunah. That's where we're up to. It has on top Shar HaYichud VeEmunah. Let's start from the very top of the page, in the middle of everything. In Ari Yakodesh, we have a concept of Tzimtzum. What does Tzimtzum mean? Concentration. Do you recognize the Tzimtzum of the Ein Sof? Do you have any memory of where it's used in Medrash? That God, when you have it in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Shekhinah, in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, in the Badei Aaron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzimtzem Shekhinoso. God, as it were, condensed his presence into a place, into a focus. And that focus was the Mishkan and the Aaron HaKadosh. In Kabbalah, Tzimtzem has the opposite meaning. Not that he concentrated himself into one place, but that God filled all of existence, there was nothing else, and he pulled back, leaving a halal, a vacuum of in which there was no divinity. Into that vacuum he radiated the kav, which means have his own essence, and that kav came in 10 forms, the Esses Sfiros, and the Esses Sfiros were to receive the effluence, the shefa of God's divinity, but they didn't, and it they broke, as it were, and that's how the world came into being. I mean, you're acquainted with this picture, and if not, it's just too much really to explain, but we don't have to have all the details. Pardon? We'll come to those terms in just a moment, correct. Now, this Tzimtzum, the Tanya will maintain, is not a physical event. It was not an antik event. It was not something that really happened, that God pulled back and he created Esses Sfiros, and into his Esses Sfiros he poured his essence, and the essence was too much. It overflowed and the kalim broke. It's not antik, it's epistemic. It's a way of knowing. It's a way of being masbir. But it is not related to the actual facts. Do you follow what I mean? It's just as if you... If you use a term, it is descriptive of a reality, but it is not the reality itself. Pardon? All right, a construct. But it is therefore the way we are told to imagine, but not to attribute it to any real event. Now, HaTzimtzum, if you look at the first line in the middle of the line, HaTzimtzum, Gurosa b'midas ha'gvurah HaTzimtzum, God's power in the sense of his Tzimtzum is always identified with Gevura, with power. Lahastir o lahalim hachayas ha-shofeya behem sheyuniroim ha-shamayim va-ores v'chol svoam ki lahem dobe v'nei asmo. What does the Tzimtzum accomplish? The Tzimtzum, which is now epistemic or epistemological, is a way of telling you something. And that is that God, the Ein Sof, wanted to disguise the fact that his essence is over everything and there's nothing else, and it hides, it's mastir, it disguises God's presence. So you might think that there is something else that exists other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ach ein ha-tzimtzum va-hesta ela la-tachtonim. But this tzimtzum and hesta is only the way it appears to us in the lower worlds. As far as God, from God's point of view, nothing exists. But he is mastir, he's mitzamtzem. He disguises this reality so that it should appear to us as if there is a world out there someplace that is not batul agabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, just the beginning of the next parak, Uveze Yuvan Mashakosu Bezora Kadosh, the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, Hu Yehuda Ilah, Uvarashain Kwa Machusel Olam Ved, Hu Yehuda Tatar. Ki Vaed, Hu Echad, Bichulufi Asvan. If you take the word Echad, the Aleph can become a Vav, osios, because in Yahavi, the letters, the consonants and vowels that are changed in Hebrew are osios ehevi, aleph hey vav yud, which are interchangeable. So the aleph becomes a vav. The ches changes into an ayin, achareya, aleph ches hey reish ayin. The dalet is the same. So the word va'ed and echad are the same, which means that really, according to the Yichud Ilah, God is one in the sense of all, mamish. But in his malchus, the Yichud Tata, we call it va'ed, because the echad is hidden. That's the tzimtzum. Why does it have to be mitzamtzum that? Why? No, we said so. Because if we were aware about all moments and acted on it functionally, there'd be no Torah, no halacha, no conscience, no morality, no life. So for our own good, as it were, God was with Samsem, and he says, you may understand, you may know theoretically that nothing exists but God, but you have to live as if God and world are in dialogue with each other, as if this is a real world, and you have to live in it in that reality. Well, I see I'll never get very far, because I just try to bite more than I can chew, but we'll leave the Tanya and... maybe we can come back to it later. Let's go to the Nefesh HaChaim. It's entitled Shar Gimel. Now, essentially, don't forget that Chaim will essentially give you the same idea that the Baal HaTanya does. Look now on the second column to the left, beginning with the word Zehu Inyan. Now you'll see that the Chaim attributes the Yichud Ilah, Yichud Tatar to two different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zehu Inyan U'Perish. Are you with me? Okay. Here is the second left-hand column. The large word is Zehu, the paragraph beginning Zehu, the top one, towards the upper part of the page. Zehu inyan u'perish Hashem Elokim Baal HaKochos Kulam. Elokim is in the plural because it indicates God as he creates. Bereishis Bara Elokim creates the vast panorama of the cosmos in their enormous plural. I don't say pluralism is a bad word. In their enormous multiplicity. Of phenomena and the natural phenomena. So that's the Shem Elokim is Bala Kochos Kulam. Aval im kol ze, the perusho v'nyona shoze Hashem, mashma sheyesh b'mitzius gam olamos v'kochos mechudoshim meretzona haposhet yizbarach. It would seem from the word Elokim that there are many worlds, many phenomena in the world. Shet simseim kvodo v'heniach mokom kaviyachol mitzius kochos v'olamos. When God performed the tzimtzum and pulling back, leaving this chalal, the place could be filled by all kinds of koach, all kinds of energy, and all kinds of physical, or what we call now natural, realities. Only Ela, Shehu Yizbarach Hu Nishmasam, God is the one who keeps it alive and keeps it in existence. Let's skip two lines. Ki inyan ha-hispashtus ha-neshama begufa adam. God's relation to world is equivalent or analogous to the function of the neshama vis-a-vis the guf. The guf exists, but it couldn't function, or couldn't have functioned without the neshama. The world couldn't exist without God as its breath and its spirit. She'af she'im ispashetes b'chol chelik in the kudah pratishabo, im kol zeh lo nuchal lomar she'haguf mizbatel negda ki'il ena b'mitziyas klal. V'chein b'chol koach v'olam elyon, the same thing holds true. Now, skip two lines. V'hu ki kafi asher mitzidenu v'yin hasagaseinu kamash kastav d'liyo. This, don't forget, is, from our point of view, God, as it were, is the one who creates and sustains the world. But there is a world. There is a world. God is the creator and the sustainer of the world, but there is a world. Avol. That's the name of what? What name of God refers to this concept? Elokim. Aval Shem Ha'etzem Havaya Baruch Hu, by the name of Havaya, Mora Ala Bechina Ve'iyan Kafi Asher Hu Mitzido Yizbaruch. He's now using whose dichotomy? Cordovero. Mitzido and Mitzidenu. Elokim is Mitzidenu, which is really the Yichud
No?
Tatar. Mitzido, from God's point of view, is the Shem Havaya, and that's Yichud Ilah. And what does he say for this? Well, you can go down to the next paragraph now. From our point of view, we know, we can have some cognition of the Ein Sof as Elohim. That's from our point of view. From his point of view, it is Havaya, Yudkei Vavkei, BMS, Hakol Echad. These are just ways of speaking. There's no other way to say other than it's... There's no other way to project the concept. Really, Hashem and Elohim are one. And where do we see that Hashem and Elohim are one? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's all one. K'moshek perez zeh inyan ha-tzimtzum v'hakav d'chul echadah. V'zehu, the last line of that page. V'zehu gam kein b'chlal inyan yichud posuk rishon d'kriyah shma. I'll skip the next page. If you wish, you can take a look now at the next page of the left column, the middle paragraph. Let's read that and we'll go on from there. V'hu gam kein echad me'atamim she... You have that?
Number 8.
Right, all right.
Number 8?
Yeah. The left side of the page. The middle paragraph. V'hu gam kein echad me'atamim she... After we say the first pasuk, which now according to him is what? Yichud Ilah, and which speaks of the non-reality of the world, mitzido, omrim boroshen kvar malchus olam ve'ed, v'hu k'mash gakta l'kaman, she'inyan yichud pasuk rishon b'tevas echad, haynu l'chavein, she'adon yachid baruch hu echad b'chol ha'olamos, Bahabriyos kulam achtus pashut. What does it mean pashut? What is simple? What is simple? What does it mean simple? No, it means non-complex. His unity is an absolute. It's a simple unity. It's not composed. For instance, what shall I say? A hotel. A hotel is one. It's one. This is one hotel. But is this hotel pashut? No. It's made up of rooms and chambers and guests and waiters and tables and chairs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Achdus Pashut. It means utterly simple, by which means that there are no parts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chulam nachshavim la'ayin ve'ein od milvado yizborach legamri. V'shalom novol yizborach lila al mahusen yin echema. You can't even think about it. It's unimaginable. You can only assert it intellectually. You cannot understand it psychologically, and you can't act on it existentially. You can only, again, I repeat it, you can only assert the idea without really feeling it, because it's simply too abstract of God being the only existent. The world appears in all its panoply and all its greatness and all its fantastic complexity, and that's the way we see the world. It's not real, but that's the way we have to live it. Okay. Now let's sit back and see what this concept of these two great gedolim bring to us. On the one hand, it's a fantastic mystical intuition. It really is. To intuit that everything around us is unreal, that there's only one reality, and that's what Hashem Echad means. Hashem Echad, Havaya Echad. Nothing else really exists. It can be intuited, and it is a very special kind of intuition. However, it has problems. One of the problems it has, as we said before, is that it's destructive of halacha. Not destructive, it can't support the halachic system, because halacha presumably is based upon the reality of the world. In this sense, it's halacha must affirm the reality of the world. Because their answer is that it is halacha affirms the reality of the world mitzidenu. But then again, we have the same problem about human relations and human realities. I have other problems too. And those problems we will now go to the other theory. The one that objects to the Tanya and the Nefesh HaChaim is the Tzvi Hirsch Zid Tshuva, one of the great, great Hasidic Rebbeim, who was one of the Gedolei HaAdmorim in Galicia. He wrote the Sur Meirav Asei Tov. He was a radical. There was a whole group of radical Rebbeim, including the Bnei Yisachar, and very, very profound thinkers, very much against the Haskalah, very much against philosophy, very much against Limudei Chol, but really tremendous minds. In the end of the Sur Meirav Asei Tov, he has Ksav Yosha Divrei Emes, and it is from that particular sefer, small in volume, large in implication.